Hollywood Theater of the Ear presents The Only Bird in Her Name.
When we think of international science fiction, we think, of course, of the adaptations from the French. We think of all the great British science fiction writers. But in the last 20 years, there has been an enormous explosion from down under, from Australia and New Zealand. It is a tsunami of talent. At the very forefront is a man named Terry Dowling. Terry Dowling's work is peculiar. It is unique. To use the Latin, it is a rara avis, a strange bird, which leads us exactly and precisely to our offering now, The Only Bird in Her Name.
That summer, there were 14 of them hunting the Forgetti. 14 hard men with fierce eyes, minds like traps and no compassion.
This is the last hunt, Beth.
Sam, my editor.
In less than a week, the new law goes into effect, protecting the species. So the most ruthless, die-hard rogues will be out there. I want you to cover the story for Caravanser. You up for it?
Was I up for it? The bounty hunters met at the astronomer's bar of the Gaza Hotel on Twilight Beach. I passed them on my way to the hotel terrace. I was seeking out the Bird Club, a group sworn to thwart the hunters on this their last quest for the elusive Forgetti, and especially their field agent, Tom Tyson, known as Tom Rhinoceros. Excuse me, which one of you is Captain Tyson?
That'd be me, miss.
I'm from Caravanserai. My editor called...
Oh, sure, you're the reporter, eh? Beth Leosa Tajian. I've read your stuff. You're good. Let me introduce you to the club. Mates, this is Beth Leosa Tajian. She's documenting the hunt for Caravanserai. Miss,
Beth, please.
Yeah, right you are. And you can call me Tom. Beth, this is Graham Fowler. He's our president. Nathan Hawkless, John Wren, Joanne Henderson, Aubrey Quayle, Sally Nightingale, Jeremy Eagleton, and Anton Ankel.
Oh, the geneticist.
Yeah, that's right. Old Anton's a new member. Bred a brand new species just to get in, he did.
Oh, how did you qualify, Tom?
Me? My position's just honorary. They allow me the dodo.
But there's no dodo in Australia.
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
Well, you got to give us a little joke, now, miss.
I swear to get even.
Now, let's go find a quiet corner, shall we?
Oh, this is a great opportunity for me. I appreciate your letting me tag along.
Well, it's you providing the favor. We asked Sam for a volunteer, didn't we? Public should have all the sordid details of this bloody so-called sport. You know that there'll be considerable danger giving it to them. Did you bring a camera?
Of course.
Yeah, always keep it ready about you. You never know.
Ah, well, if it ain't Tom Tyson of the good ship Rhinoceros.
Who's that?
Meesler, an African hunter.
Ah, yes, a deadly man.
Oh, they're all deadly men.
Hello, Captain Tom. You're so far from your sand ship. All because of us, maybe? You will stop us, do you think?
If I can, Meesler. If it comes to that.
We are 14 this time.
All Africans like you.
Ah, who's the bird?
I'm Beth Leosa Tajian.
She's a journalist, working the hunt for Caravanserai.
Ah, do tell.
I know who you are, Meesler. You've led most of these hunts near single-handedly wiping out the Forgetti out of existence.
Only one of the man-eaters left.
That's not certain.
And we are going to get him on this trick.
Captain Tyson may have something to say about that.
Tom? Tom Rhinoceros? Let him say whatever he likes.
He stopped you before.
Yeah, twice. Only twice. Spoiled... Two hunts out of how many?
You only have 2 days this time, Meesler. Then the new protective law kicks in and the Abos won't permit you to use any high-tech weapons on their land.
Merely makes things a mite more sporting.
A little less like slaughter.
A mite more sporting, as I said, miss. And then the Bird Club will be there. I forgot. The tribes only let them send one man in, Captain Tom. That is, what, 14 against 2? Or sounds like maybe against 3, as the lady sounds terribly partisan for an impartial observer.
I report what I see. I've seen you hunt, and it looks like butchery to me.
Ah, there you go, eh, Tom? Shows you that women don't belong on a hunt.
I agree with her.
Which only proves my point.
It may be a woman you're hunting, for all you know.
A female, not a woman. Forgetties aren't human, you know.
You sure?
Even if it were human, would that stop you?
Not if we could get a license at the front end and a purse at the back end. Remember that old story? The most dangerous game.
Ah, then wasn't the hunter in that story defeated?
Ultimately. But he didn't have a monetary incentive like we do. He was rich and soft, and a dilettante. Remember that before you go poking your nose where it don't belong.
I intend to be careful.
You too, miss. The outback is a tricky place, and the hunt is no event for a bleeding-heart city bird.
Well, the next time I see one, I'll tell her. We left Miesla and walked down the promenade. I felt a definite thrill of excitement, but also of concern and uncertainty. To be alone with the legendary Tom Tyson. These hunters, will they know more than you do, Tom, about the Forgetti, I mean?
Possibly, Beth, but not likely. They'll know kill sites and hunt patterns from all the past hunts. And they'll have a profile on how this present creature will behave. I have much the same information.
What do you know?
This particular specimen. I have much the same information. We know it's a true shape changer, though a comparatively slow one. That, like all Forgettis, it mimics only humans as the most fitting mask for its intelligence. We know it's definitely not a man-eater, contrary to what Miesla says. That it doesn't even kill when it's cornered. We know its bite causes a loss of memory.
Short-term memory or all memory?
Recent memory. And it's not immune to its own bite. Anton Ankill discovered that several years ago.
It's easy to think of the vampire legend.
Vampires and werewolves, Miesla's argument 10 years ago. That's where the misconceptions about the Forgetti begin. The biting. How well have you been briefed?
I talked with the researchers, Rossabo and Muntz. I know the Bale standards, all the variants. I've scanned the report your bird club did.
Well, then you know there's no biting at all. There's an ancillary tooth, the due to, folded in against the lower jaw. The Forgetti presses its open mouth against the victim's neck so the tooth pierces the skin and secretes the lethophoric. Then there's the stupor and the amnesia. There's not biting.
I've heard, too, that the Abbots called it the philosopher beast.
Yes, the Aurelius. That's the bird club's doing. A deliberate tactic to upgrade the creature's status. It's also a way of describing how the Abbots have finally started to see the creature. Andromorph Aurelius, the philosopher beast, the beast of Lethe or Forgetti, this quasi-human dweller of the coastal deserts, first identified by...
Graham Fowler,
yeah,
I know.
Yes.
12 years ago, right. But is it so enlightened? I mean, Muntz fears it's just a mutation, that most of its intelligence is mimicry as well.
Yeah, that too is Miesla's argument. Because there's no apparent purpose for the creature, no clear ecological niche for it. Mutations don't always have an obvious place in the natural order. That's the nature of mutation.
Then what could be its purpose? What use is a creature that can make itself look human and erase memory? Is it just a highly specialized mutation?
You think it's human, don't you, Beth?
Of course I do. Calling it an andromorph simply conceals the fact that it's another tangential. I think we've accelerated a subtype.
A failed tribal genetic experiment.
Not even failed, but you're testing me. The Bird Club already considers it viable and worthy of protection, and you aren't convinced that I'm not working with Miesla, are you? That our little mutual hatred exchange a few minutes ago wasn't just an act. That's why we're out here. You do what you need to, Tom. But you do believe it's viable, with a very real place in the natural order. That's where you base your whole defense, isn't it?
Our problem, Beth, is that we've simply not been able to converse with a beast and study its motivations.
I find that odd. I'd say your group is committed to stopping further research, not encouraging
it. That's because of the means researchers want to use. Once you grant the beast its intelligence, then you grant it the desire for reclusiveness as well. We feel that when the hunts are ended, the Forgettis will reveal themselves and on their own terms. The option won't exist until the new law goes into effect day after tomorrow.
Well done. Good, honest self-determination. And you said Forgettis, plural. You believe there's more than one.
We need to. We don't approach this as scientists, more as allies. We really do want the beasts to trust us. And when they're ready.
Yeah, it occurs to me that you have an excellent reason to conceal what you know. As part of this tolerance and patience and maybe even worse.
Worse?
Yes, I mean, how would you know if you'd encountered a beast? You may have already had your encounters and dialogues, been bitten and simply forgotten. Isn't that possible? The mnemonic residue might be this unscientific caring the group displays.
Yeah, we often laugh about that, Beth. Protective deja vu. Now and then we bare our necks to one another, looking for the signs. Now, if the Forgettis are viable, true tangentials, and not some short-term mutation, they deserve to live. We draw a line there. And they'd never need to infiltrate our ranks. We're already their friends. Our members know one another too well anyway. The little memory games and passwords we use make a sustained impersonation impossible.
I was just curious.
I know. And I know you're not with Misla.
Thank you. What made you so sure of me?
There's a bird in your name.
What?
A bird.
In my name?
Most definitely.
What bird? Where?
You really don't know.
This is a joke, like that dodo business.
There really is a bird in your name.
Are you going to tell me or not?
It's getting late. It'll be a long day tomorrow. I'm turning in. And I suggest you do the same.
To the north of Twilight Beach are the restoration towns, strung out like beads on a necklace along the coast. They're mournfully sad places. The people there are impoverished, inbred, and almost xenophobic. To go there, the curious sightseer must take passage on one of the strange Thailand sand ships and travel the Sakbiob through the arid coastal desert. At noon, Tom and I and the hunters boarded the only vessel out of Twilight Beach that day.
It'll be 2 hours before we reach Tyler. Hunters won't be able to start out until late in the afternoon.
Why Tyler?
You might remember that a month or so ago, the Forgetti's town room was discovered at Twilight Beach.
Yes, it's what set off this entire hunt madness.
There they found religious objects. And from these and other clear signs, it became obvious that the creature has its umphalos, its secret place, near Tyler.
Misla will lose most of the daylight on his first day. And it's only a 2-day hunt. He won't like that.
With luck, it'll only be one of many things he won't like.
Tyler rose on long, low beach terraces above the ocean. 100 white buildings, set about narrow streets and many small squares. We disembarked at the quay and found accommodation at the only Outlander hotel in town.
What the hell do you mean?
This is a very solemn festival.
What's the trouble, Misla?
The abbo here says they've got some kind of religious celebration going on. Well, I don't see no signs, I wonder you.
There are not any signs. This is how we observe this day. We, the believing Thailands, go about our business as usual.
Oh, I see, but we can't, is that it?
What kind of holiday is this?
It is a very sacred Thailand holy day called the Festival of the Outsider. No outlander is permitted to enter or leave this city or to be seen out of doors after sunset. And no one, native or otherwise, is allowed to enter or leave the city upon pain of death.
Bloody hell.
Unless you wish to leave by tomorrow's ship, you are very welcome to go back to Twilight Beach and stay there.
Right, lads, here's what we're going to do. Festival or no bloody festival?
Beth. You got your camera handy?
Right here.
Yeah, turn it on. Let Misla see we're recording this.
Hey, now you put that damn thing away, miss.
Can't. It's my job.
Right, lads. It looks as though we have got some time to kill.
We have reservations. Beth Louisa Tajian and Tom Tyson from Bird Club.
Please sign the register. Here are your keys. Adjoining rooms as requested. And this letter came for you.
Ah, ta. Beth. We still got an hour or so of daylight left. Let's take a stroll.
We left our bags with the desk clerk and went out to walk in the streets.
I'm sure that Misla figures that I'll have some contact with the Forgetti. He might have some spying equipment shielded against discovery. That's why I wanted us to leave the hotel.
You think the letter's from the Forgetti?
No doubt in my mind.
And you think Misla knows about it?
He was sitting for all to see in that pigeonhole behind the desk. The only envelope there...
Why didn't you just grab it when he had the chance?
Your camera, that's why. He needs his public image unsullied for a while longer.
So, what does the beast say?
Well, let's find out. Captain Tom, thank you for coming. Thank the Bird Club. For this service to me, I shall never take your face or that of those you love.
What do you suppose he means by that?
I suppose he's promising never to use his shape-shifting power to impersonate me or my nearest and dearest.
What else does he say?
Well, I shall be direct and honest in our dealings. The hunters will guess I am among the Choltoons at the stone door. Help me if you can, but do not risk your life. That is all I ask.
That's it?
That's it.
Not much help, is it?
Well, at least we know now where the Umphalos is. Every little restoration town has these Choltoons, cisterns just beyond the city limits for catching rainwater. But you know that already, don't you?
Of course. But why did you ask me in that odd tone of voice?
As the priests announced the onset of the festival. I think we'd better head back.
We were glad to get back to the hotel. I watched Tom burn the letter in the small votive fire before the Thailand icon near the window of his room.
Misla has maps. He already knows the Umphalos is near fresh water, so that means the Choltoons on the outskirts of town. Searching there is his most obvious course. The letter confirms it.
Can he be sure that the beast is there?
He's stuck out there by stone door until the festival's over. The Thailands take their holy days seriously. Security at the perimeter must be pretty tight.
Misla will move at sunset.
The instant the festival ends.
I'm going to follow the hunt. All of it.
I want you there, Beth. I'll have to assume the Forgetti will not do anything. It may just wait to die. If high tech is used, I'll especially need a witness and media contact. What worries me is that you...
If they try to kill me, can I fight? Or will that invite tribal payback?
The moment a weapon is raised in your direction, you can fight. Let's hope the weapons they use make it possible. But the important thing is, Beth, is to get the facts out, so this becomes an unforgotten incident. Are you trained?
To fight? I'm a writer, Tom. I've had house training, that's all.
No, it won't come to that. Misla will keep to the rules.
Your words are reassuring, but your eyes show concern.
Eyes?
Your eyes are everything. Did you know that, Tom?
Why? Did they give me away?
They did just now. More often they pose more questions than they answer. Though I will say that it's your eyes that make me believe in all the legends about Captain Tom Rhinoceros.
Please understand, Beth. I'm not as reckless as they say. I'll oppose me slow and to slow him down, to use up the time he has. Festival helps me there. I knew about that.
You did?
Yes, but Misla did not. I'm hoping you'll do something foolish that will give me other things I can use. But tomorrow evening at the Choltoons... I promise you I will fight only till I know I cannot win any longer. Then I will stop. I am a philosopher beast too, you see.
Your eyes say different. Your eyes tell me that you might not have time to discover whether or not the Umphalos is occupied, that you are more likely to fight until you're killed, and that a vengeful Misla might not let you withdraw from a fight to the death.
My eyes tell you all that.
That... and more. Well, we need two rooms tonight, Captain Dodo.
Hey.
You heard me. Well, we need two rooms.
Not if I were choosing.
Nor I. Later, in the silence of midnight in silent Tyler, he turned to me. His eyes glinted, watching. Dodo?
You're the only one ever to use that as an endearment with me.
Oh?
I've been told French parents still use it with their children when they sing them to sleep. Mon petit Dodo.
I've heard that too. You've made that bird very important to me. What's the bird in my name?
Not yet.
I do hope you will know when to stop fighting tomorrow. I held him close until he slept, worrying for him and thinking about the contest that was coming. Thinking of so many things that held me back from sleep and fearing what would soon happen. Tom had spoken of tribal vigilance, of surveillance by the states. But what he didn't say was that in the restoration towns, the rules of the tribes were far-off things, depending on the whims of the locals, and very difficult to enforce.
This hotel maintains perfect security.
And then how come my man is dead?
What's going on in here?
A murder. That's what's going on.
Impossible.
Can you explain to me then how this body got a hole in its head?
Tom, what happened?
Get your camera. Seems one of the hunters died unnaturally last night.
He was murdered, shot in the head while writing a letter home to his family. Now, you can tell that to your readers.
The Forgetti?
We'll see. Let me examine the corpse.
One of my best men he was.
Oh, I need to get a good shot of this.
Oh, you're quite the little pest with that camera, aren't you?
If anyone came in or out, our surveillance systems would have alerted us. He must have taken his own life.
These damned abbos have the whole town closed off. Security all over the place, keeping us virtual prisoners in this hotel, but they let a friggin' Forgetti slip in here and murder us in our sleep.
While the sun is up, you can leave the hotel. I hope you do. And take your suicide with you.
He was killed, I tell you.
From the look of things, you're both right. He was killed, but as a result of his own actions.
What the hell are you talking about?
And it wasn't the Forgetti's work either.
Damn it, Captain. You shut up and talk.
Yes, yes, I know what you mean. I know what you mean, Meisler. Calm down. Come here. Look at the wound. Get this on camera, Beth, if you will. This man wasn't shot. Shards of flesh, bone and tissue splay outward like an exit wound. And when you move his head here, you can find the entrance wound. What do you see?
I can't see nothing.
Now, take a look at this little thing on the writing table. Yeah, who's got some tweezers?
I have a hairpin.
Yeah, that'll do.
Here.
Let me just pull it out of this mess here, so you can get a better look at it. I hope nobody here's squeamish. There! What's it look like to you?
How am I supposed to know what it is?
Oh, it looks like one of those small implant casings, the kind they use for surgical microprocessing.
Nonsense, rubbish.
That's what it looks like to me. The kind of casing used for brainwave satellite scanning, coated with a shielding chemical to protect against detection. You can smell it. This man had a microchip implant. By the burns, I'd say it exploded in his head.
How? Why?
You know about this, Meisler.
What am I supposed to have known about?
No high tech. It's against all code regulations. In other words, your friend here got what he asked for. My guess is that your friend here illegally used his implant to access one of the Japanese Comsat satellites. With the satellite, he could scan the Thailand periphery for signs of the Forgetti.
Will you get that filthy hairpin out of the man's head, please, Captain? That is so disgusting.
Yes, sir. I think this little thing looks like a fragment of a chip. An analysis will prove me right or wrong. Here, I'll just wrap it in this tissue. There are no police here. I'll have the Bird Club look at it.
How did he die?
If he were messing with the satellite, which he no doubt was, the locals would have picked up the signals with their monitors. They would have used their own technology to home in on the hunter's device and give him a dose of tribal payback.
Well, what are you looking at me for? I didn't know anything about this.
I'm sure.
You want your hairpin back?
I'll get a new one and put it on your bill.
Hey, excuse me, where are you going? You're not getting the police involved in this, are you?
There are no police in Tyler. She's probably gone down to order a clean-up.
Me and my men will do our own clean-up, thank you.
By what authority?
Hunter discretion, miss. We have the right. I don't believe a word of your story, Captain Tom. The Forgetti is involved in this somehow and trying to cover his tracks with these false clues.
We'll find out soon enough when we get back to Twilight Beach. If I were you, Meisler, I'd worry about what will happen when the Abbo princes hear about this.
By the time you get back to them with your lies, I'll be safely out of Australia with my bounty, so you can do your worst.
What do you think they'll do with the body?
Destroy it, probably. Before a forensic can be done on it.
Well, you don't seem particularly concerned about this, Tom.
Well, what do you expect, Beth? Of course, laws will be broken. This is the last hunt, the final chance. What matters most now is that Meisler has been caught out on a breach of the rules.
Does it help? He'll try to suppress that story.
Only for the authorities and national officials. After this, the Abbos will be far more willing to tolerate payback from me, to restore balance. I need to get a letter to Graham Fowler on today's ship. It's a risk. The Bird Club may decide it can show its teeth.
Archaeopteryx.
I'm sorry?
The Bird Club will show its teeth. Prehistoric bird. Teeth. Forget it.
Oh, I'm slow.
Mm-hmm.
Archaeopteryx, of course. The Dawn Bird. I won't underestimate you again.
The rest of the day went quietly for all of us. Some of Meisler's hunters roamed the streets, Others went as far as the road leading out into the hills, but no further. Tylan priests in dark ceremonial robes stood there, barring their way. Their ceremonial wands were barely disguised laser batons. But at sunset, when the streets of Tyler were deep in shadow and the temple gong was sounding out the end of the festival, Meesla and his band set off. Two lines, moving along the one narrow road that led to the Chultums. Unlike a Forgetti's town room, where it lives as a tangential human, the Umphalos is the meditation place that gives the philosopher beast its name.
This is it.
Are you certain? It's small.
Only one opening and one approach. That's good for us. Be easy to defend.
Do you think the beast is inside?
I'm going in to find out.
Oh, no, you are not.
Meesla.
Yeah, interesting dilemma, Captain Tom. You dare not show us which Chultun hides the beast, yet you cannot stay away. Sir, do not be so hard on yourself, Captain. There were clear tracks that would have led us here if we had been unable to follow you. Now, take your positions, lads.
Tom said nothing. I moved back to the cave mouth, then edged up to some rocks, so I was looking down at the group assembling in front of Tom. With the brilliant moonlight, I could see everything. Tom stood at the edge of the Chultun, on the narrow, sandy approach around its paved rim. The hunters could not even send missiles into the Umphalos without gaining more ground.
Let us by, Captain Tom. You need not die for this. The creature is ours.
This might be the last of them, Meesla. Just this once. Do a really brave thing. Turn and go. Let the creature be.
Why should I, when defeating you with such easy work?
If you insist.
I do!
The tall African was stronger, the more skillful opponent. I could see Tom was not going to defeat him. I could not interfere. I could not. And yet, neither could I just stand there. Tom was alone but for me. He stumbled. I seized a stone. My hand did. My mind not even deciding. One of the hunters raised a bow, but before he could let loose an arrow, Tom and Meesla backed off from one another and looked up. We all did. We saw the huge, dark shape against the blue evening sky. Watched as the balloon settled above the stone towers and men dropped down ropes from the gondola. We heard their swords leave their scabbards. We saw them descend, while other dark shapes lined the sides of the basket and sent arrows down at the waiting hunters.
It's the bird club! Stop them!
At this, one of the hunters pulled off his own right arm. From the prosthetic sheath, he drew three laser batons and threw them in a practice move to his nearby companions.
Burn that thing down! As for you, Captain Tom...
All of a sudden, the plane was filled with detonations and flashes of energy. I looked up. Tylan priests surrounded us on the rocks above. Appearing out of nowhere, their laser batons striking Mishla's high-tech warriors before they even aimed their weapons. Tom and Meesla slid and lunged in the dust, Tom being driven ever backward around the edges of the Chultun toward the cave of the Forgetti. The rest of the fighters stood, watching. The dark sword carriers from that greatest of infringements, the balloon. The eight remaining mercenaries who dropped their laser batons rather than risk certain death. And the silent Tylan priests with their staves of power glinting in the moonlight. Further and further towards the cave, Tom retreated back into the shadows of the final 10 meters. Meesla was grinning in triumph. And then...
What was that?
Sounds like your philosopher beast has taken the philosopher's way out.
It's the cave. The cave. It's empty.
Look. There. A scuffed patch of earth beside the stones. That must be where he jumped into the water.
That finishes it, Meesla. The cistern's deep, but you just may find the body. You haven't till midnight.
All right, lads. Come on. Let's get busy.
The tribes have ordered the club to disband.
What? Because of the balloon?
Mm. Using it was a substantial breach of their law.
Oh, couldn't it be justified as payback?
Ah, if it weren't for the payback ethic, we would have incurred a much heavier penalty, believe me.
Oh, still, it's a shame.
Maybe not such a shame. No more hunters will be coming. After such a violation of both tribal and nation taboo, they'll be hunted themselves forever.
So, the Forgetti is safe now.
If it still exists. What do you think, Beth? Did our beast take its own life? Was he that determined to end the conflict?
No, Tom. You've told me again and again that the species is viable, inclined to life. I think the cave was empty. That a rock slide had been prearranged. That's what we heard.
Well, still, it came at an opportune moment. A second later, Misla would have had me.
Well, Sir Dodo, what about my bird?
Your bird?
The bird in my name. What have you chosen for me?
Ah, well, I think you know already. Something special, naturally.
Yes.
Something provocative.
I'm listening.
With the implications of the phoenix, the first bird.
Archaeopteryx?
That's it. The Ios and Leosa, the Greek word for dawn.
As dawn again appeared, rosy fingered.
The dawn bird. A creature in transition. A precursor. Phoenix is always regarded as the bird of change. It's a myth. Ah, but the dawn bird. The dawn bird really existed. The pragmatist's phoenix. So you really think it was a rock fall, eh?
Yes. A decoy.
You're so certain. There's no one near the cave but Misla, you and me.
Well, it was rigged in advance.
Maybe. But who set it off just at the right moment?
Well, could be you did. Or Misla.
Hmm. Hidden tripwire or something?
Exactly.
We didn't find anything like
well,
that.
You weren't looking, were you? Besides, the Forgetti may be clever enough to have kept it well hidden.
No, I don't underestimate the Forgetti. Not anymore. Still, if it had occurred even a second or two later...
You were very nearly extinct, my Dodo.
So were you, Dawn Bird.
I saw him the next morning on the terrace of the hotel talking with the other members of the Bird Club, carefully keeping myself hidden, wondering why I'd not taken his memory this time either. And what he thought, knowing it all. It's good that he knows, that someone knows. Then I returned to my other dark place, my secret room in the back streets of the Thailand Quarter. There I found a letter, propped up against my small icon.
Dear Beth, having you in my life again, one more time, this dangerous time, makes me know, all over again, what human is. Come back to me now, just as you are. I cannot promise what will happen, but you need not go through this again, especially now with Misla gone. We can make a place for all of your kind. Finish properly what we have begun. We need you to help us. Think of what you do now, Beth. Please. Think of what you do now. Love, Tom.
I burned the letter in the votive flame, cancelling out the sharp, exquisite hurt, at least in part. The hurt that he did understand but could never completely know. Then I arranged a brief mnemonic display to remind me that I was a sometime journalist between Twilight Beach and Tyler. So there would be a next time. I recited the trigger word several times, in case I needed to know it all, to have something more than chance that might lead me back to Tom. Archaeopteryx. 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 When that was done, I sat on my bed, fretting, aching,
with need for him. Yes, forget he's our philosopher beast indeed. I mean, you learn it every time. You give, you take, you lower your head to your arm. Slowly, purposefully. There is the tooth. The slightest prick is all it takes. The last words you cry are a broken whisper, a sigh of love. Dodo, mon petit dodo. Then you give yourself over to Lethe and all the sweet blessings of forgetfulness.